Dude, I'm in the foulest of moods today.
What I tell you, I called that shit before you even got on. All right, Hunter was like, I'm super fucking tired. It's like, Eric's going to get on and be like, he's going to be pissed.
Well, I'm super pissed. I don't know what the fuck is going on with me right now. Oh, I know. I didn't fucking sleep.
Well, that's why Hunter's tired. You guys should be all bonding.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
You guys should just be super friends. Fuck, dude. This episode's going to... I'm already upset. I'm getting started to get upset, too.
Force it unforcingly.
This is the opening of the episode right here.
Force it unforcingly. Reminds me, before I forget, I had a couple friends listen to the episode.
Already this fucking story starts off with a lie, but continue.
I have a couple friends, yeah. Tell me, they're like, we listened to the episode about The Conjuring, right? I think y'all were too easy on it.
I agree with that.
They were like, that movie fucking sucked. I also had another friend that didn't tell me they listened to the episode, but they were like, man, that movie was boring.
Yeah, well, sex with your mom is boring, so
that's what I told them.
Yeah,
Brian needs
Brandon,
to know.
Brandon, sex with your mom is boring, Brandon.
You're just not doing it right. Yeah, Caleb at work was not a fan of the Conjuring movie either.
But I mean, I still stand by like it being, you know, just it was just fine. Like it was, you know, dark enough, it was different enough. Honestly, the little totem thing was so tight. I love that, but, you know.
You can get that totem shirt.
I'm going to fucking buy a replica of the totem.
No.
Damn, bro, you're hardcore.
You know me.
Make one. You're really hardcore.
Hardcore as fuck.
Go out there, kill some foxes, and make one.
No, you leave those foxes alone.
Yeah. I'm vegan, bro.
What?
I just thought you should know. I
never heard that before.
Yeah, exactly.
God. It's like the worst thing you can be.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can, you know, there's murderers, rapers.
Worst thing you can be.
Salesmen. And you're telling me that not being vegan's the worst thing.
Republicans.
Straight up Nazis.
I said Republicans.
I got him.
Again, that goes back to Brian's mom.
Brandon's mom.
Brandon's mom.
Oh, God.
Brandon? Is that your friend?
That's one way out.
Does he listen?
He didn't, like, he listens to us, but I don't think he listened to the episode.
He listens to us, but he doesn't listen to the episode.
He just started, like, listening, like, while we were on that 3-week break or whatever. He was just like, when's the next episode coming out?
None of your fucking business, Brandon. Whenever the fuck we feel like it.
No, I'm going to say shout out to Brandon. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, though, that's pretty cool, though, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for listening, Brandon.
Victor started listening.
Victor, welcome.
He's all caught up. He's like, what is the next shit?
See?
He just likes us. He likes when he just talks shit on movies. So
yeah, that's why. Oh, wow. If people are listening to us, that's why they do it, is to hear us talk shit about movies.
I don't even talk shit about movies.
You shit.
I love all of them.
You talk shit in general. You don't need to talk shit about movies.
Yeah, you defend the movie, but then you talk shit about everything else in life.
You are the defender. The shit defender.
I like that.
If you could get like that on your stomach, that'd be super tight.
That's an episode name, Shit Defender.
Like Shit Defender. The Johnny Cochran of horror movies.
God damn it.
Isn't it okay? That's got to be the new episode title, right? The Johnny Cochran of horror.
I will defend any garbage.
Shit, that's too long. I'm just gonna put shit.
Shit defender.
It's too long. I got time. I don't need to get sued by the ghost of Jenna Cochran.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to your favorite podcast, The Cult of Horror. We are your weekly sometimes podcast. With us,
I like that better.
Nah, but he had malice in his heart.
I've always got malice in my heart.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you.
Sometimes it's cynicism, and I like that better. But when it's just like pure hate, you could taste it.
It's palpable.
Yeah. Man, this is going to be a great episode. We were just all fucking out of sorts.
Firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, I can't think straight. Yeah, you're going to have to give me a second because I took my meds right now.
Meds don't work that fast.
I am out of my meds.
Everybody perk up. If you get, do your cocaine. Cult of Horror on KBLX, The Wolf. That's how you want to do.
With Catfish, Dad, and the Rambler.
Rambles McTangent here.
Hi, I'm Rambles McTangent.
Never on topic and always talking too much.
Episode brought to you by Nervous Sweats.
Oh, fuck.
Hunter was all upset about that that tombstone that made him 20 years old.
I was like, that was my only thing about it. Just like, I'm 20?
Yeah. Well, it's because like we make fun of you for not.
That's so nice of you.
For not being like old enough for anything and not remembering anything and the fact that you won't watch a movie before 2015.
Hey, sometimes I watch some from 2010. I watched No One Lives.
I watched classics from 2010.
At this rate.
Man, so what's up with weekends going by so fast? This is bullshit.
That's work, baby.
Fuck that. I don't want to go back.
I'm actually on vacation.
Fuck you.
Again? Weren't you just on vacation like 2 weeks ago?
He literally was.
And 2 weeks before that. Yeah.
How are you getting so much vacation?
Well, because I had to use any of my vacation and then like it was going to lapse.
Yeah, expired.
I was hitting my anniversary at work. So I just like had to take like 2 weeks of vacation in like 2 months, and then at the end I threw in like my PTO, and so I took like a couple days, like a half a week off for that, and then it rolled over again in May, so now I'm all like re-upped, and then Ashley's like, take a vacation, because, you know, the kid's gotta, you know, she's off for summer.
Not even your kid, though, just like, let her watch herself. I don't even,
that's what happens. I mean, like,
she's getting old enough.
Here we go, for everybody that's a parent, like, how old is old enough for, like, the kid to, like, be home and not like choked it up.
I mean, I'd say like a 12 or something.
Hunter still has issues.
I can't be alone.
You're alone every time you do this fucking podcast.
Nah, Kenzie's asleep.
Is she asleep?
Yeah, she's asleep.
And you're just in here barking.
Oh yeah.
And she's just cool.
Yeah, she's not asleep anymore. Now I have to cut all that out. But yeah.
Why?
Nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear it.
Exactly.
Everybody wants to hear that.
No, they don't.
My dad, he listens, and he's always like, I want to hear, like, more behind the scenes.
Tell me more about your editing issues.
Like, he loves featurettes and commentaries on DVDs.
Your dad does not listen to us.
My dad 100% does listen.
Are you serious?
Or at least he used to. But, yeah, he'll hit it. I've been over there, like, before COVID, and, like, he was listening. So.
And you've been talking shit about your mom on here for years.
For sure. I will always like that. Is
I will
my,
always
like,
talk shit about my mom.
I will always talk shit about my parents. Like, that is like my go to is just like talking mad shit on my really great parents.
That's your brand.
Yeah, I think they accept that. It's like, hey, it's just a bit. It's just a bit.
Just a bit. I'm a comedian. Hey,
it's part of his routine.
Ben Affleck's not really Batman. He plays that on like TV. He's not really Batman. No one's all like, hey, it's really Batman over here.
Yeah, he's a comedian, like, you know, that Don Rickles guy we used to watch on TV.
Val Kilmer at his best before he got really weird looking and sad.
He had throat cancer, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he...
Way to make fun of people with cancer, Elliot.
Well, he also got weird in the face. And then I think he had plastic surgery. I don't know. He didn't fare well.
I don't know. He was awesome and real genius.
I like him as Batman.
That's your Batman?
No. God, no.
I was like, I'm out.
Everybody knows Clooney's the Batman.
Chonky. I like Chonky Val Kilmer as my Batman.
Well, they're bringing back Michael Keaton as Batman.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think he could do it.
Yeah, he's still got chops.
He's a great actor. I like him. Oh man, I meant to bring this up last time, but I was watching Shakespeare's Macbeth.
Okay,
which one of the 10 million?
It was the what's his face, Michael Fassbender.
Mm. More like Assbender.
A-A-O. So it was one of the newer ones. It was tight. But the dude, what's his, that we kept calling him like Charlie, that redhead dude from The Banishing or whatever the fuck that shit movie was.
Yeah.
He was in there as Macduff, and he was fucking hella tight. Like, he was like the best actor in the movie, which further pisses me off on The Banishing.
That because I love his character in that movie.
He was, yeah, but he was super wasted his talent. He was like a nothing character that didn't really do anything other than like he was the guy that could like solve this haunting. But like,
but he like stole the movie, even in that role. He was terrible writing. It wasn't anything.
Yeah.
It was just wasted writing.
That role was nothing. And I guess like however good it was because like he can act his ass off. But like, yeah, he talked the same in Macbeth. He'd like, just like, he'd just feel like the whisper stuff, Macduff, all like Scottish and shit. So it just further cemented how bad The Banishing was.
Well, on that note, do we have a lot to talk about?
Not a whole lot. I mean, the only thing interesting that happened to me this week is I got a new car for the wife.
What'd y'all get?
The Lexus RX 350.
Jesus, money bags.
He meant what color?
Oh, it's caviar.
What the fuck color is that? Black?
Yeah, black with like duffs in it. Oh. Pretty tight.
Fish scale.
Originally, I went in to get my car serviced. And then I went to the old dealership I worked at, and a friend was like, you know, I can get you like a good deal on a trade-in and then get you another car. And I was like, tell me more. Then next thing I know, she's like running my credit and I'm signing papers. Well, just to
which is weird because you used to work in a dealer. Well, you technically still do.
We were going to get rid of that my car like within the next couple of months, and she had the 4Runner, which I took from her and lifted it and did shit to it. So she didn't want that shit anymore.
Yeah, no shit.
I pointed one out one day, the Lexus, and she's just like, oh yeah, I like it or whatever. And so when they told me that they could give me a deal on one, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna get that for her. But the whole thing is, when we were getting rid of the car, we were like, okay, we're gonna get something used, something less expensive, because we're like on this money saving kick, trying to get out of debt and everything. I didn't do that with this car.
You don't say.
I'm just too rich.
I'm actually paying more now.
Fuck and, yeah.
So I'm trying to like surprise her with this car that I know she's gonna love, but at the same time, I'm like, she's gonna be so fucking pissed at me.
Yeah, she's gonna beat you.
Yeah, I was like so mad. I get home and she's like, oh yeah, that's a pretty cool looking car. Can I drive it? I was like, well, you'll have more than enough time to drive it. And she's just like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, because it's yours now. And she just got silent and I almost pissed my pants.
You're gonna let us stew in that a little bit?
She ended up loving it. She's really happy. She's just like, fuck it, you know, treat yourself.
After I explained to her why she should be happy and then pour happiness on her with my hands, she was very happy.
Yeah. And now she was just like, fuck it, it's not that much more than the other cars. So we're already budgeting for that other car, so might as well. She's just like, since it's mine, it doesn't matter. It's what I want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Happy wife, happy life. Am I right? Am I right?
Yeah, and now I don't have my coal car, and I'm fucking sad, so whatever.
I'm sure you'll
buy. That's exactly what you need. What you need is just to be a little more sad. Something else to be bummed about.
I mean, as long as she's happy, I guess that's all that matters in life.
No, that's her using her feminine wiles to confuse you, make you think that you're failing, make you feel bad about yourself.
It's true.
Wow.
Why don't you make more?
Why don't you vote for Trump?
Amen.
You motherfuckers got any news?
I hope so.
About time. I got some.
All
right. First off, big news, kinda. We talked previously on this podcast about the Toxic Avenger remake.
Oh, tell me more.
Starring Peter Dinklage, which we thought was amazing casting. Well, since then, it has been announced that Elijah Wood would be appearing in the movie as a villain. And most currently, Kevin Bacon has signed on to be a villain. Kevin Bacon, Elijah Wood, Peter Dinklage. And this movie is going to be it's being produced by Legendary Entertainment. And I'm excited. It's going to be written and directed by Macon Blair. I think it's Macon. He starred in the movie Blue Ruin and The Green Room. And he also wrote and directed the Netflix movie I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore, which is super tight, which also had Elijah Woods, which so that makes sense.
So, the movie was super tight.
So I'm fucking kind of fucking stoked about Toxic Avenger.
You would be, you fucking piece of shit.
What? I'm not like a trauma guy. I do not like trauma movies, but I was a huge fan of the cartoon Toxic Crusaders as a kid. Those toys are fucking, they gave Ninja Turtles a run for their money. So by proxy, I'm excited about this movie, but I'm really excited about who's making this movie. There's no way this can fail. Put me on record. No way this can fail.
Too big to fail.
Too big to fail. Yeah. All these motherfuckers in it. Kevin Bacon, Elijah Wood, Macon Blair, like,
only God can sink this ship.
I don't even think God can.
Yeah.
See, recently also we got a trailer for R.L. Stine's Fear Street.
Here we go.
Yeah!
Directed by Lee Janik. It's basically kind of a weird, kind of like the Scary Stories movie premise of, you know, teenagers like uncover this like murderous secret in their town. But it's a 3-film trilogy that spans over 300 years. Starting in July and then finishing up July 16th on Netflix. Rated R for fucking violence.
Whoa.
And language.
Hell yeah, bitch.
So this is literally tailored toward Eric. Fear Street, hard R. So.
Whoa, hard R.
What,
huh?
What are you
hard
talking R. about?
No.
Hard R. Previously, we had the whole discussion about how horror does not need to be PG-13. And Netflix listened. Up next, in the continuing with our theme of remakes, Stephen King's Christine
again
is getting a Blumhouse remake.
God,
from
damn.
The director of TV's Hannibal, Brian Fuller.
It's Blumhouse.
Blumhouse. What'd I say? Blumhouse?
Hey, put some fucking respect on their name.
Yeah, bro.
Bloozer House is teaming up with Stephen King, so I'm not thrilled about that, but we'll see. I don't like both those camps.
That's not going to be good at all.
No, that's going to be. I wonder shit.
I wonder shit too, man.
Word, son.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that's going to come out. Like, I could see that coming out as like a fucking show or some bullshit.
Probably.
I don't even know. Anyways, Evil Dead Rise, the new Evil Dead movie, which we also formerly talked about as being, you know, basically Demon 2, has begun production. And I don't know if we mentioned this last time, but it's being directed by Lee Cronin from the Hole in the Ground fame.
What?
Yeah, so he's going to be doing the new Evil Dead, urban metropolis Evil Dead movie.
Hunter loved that.
I did, Hole I liked ground. It. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay.
Yeah, I mean, but it all culminated in like a really like interesting ending. I thought, I don't know, I liked it, especially for what it was. Ricky liked it too.
Yeah. Oh, well, if Ricky liked it.
Hey, Ricky doesn't like much.
This is a decent Changeling movie. Here's something that you should be really stoked for on Apple TV. Sam Neill.
First off.
Don't tell me what to do.
Exactly. Tell me the news and I'll decide for myself.
Yeah, don't you tell me what to get excited about.
No, I wrote this down just for you. Sam Neill is starring in
I'm in
a movie called Invasion, which is a global multi-story evil alien movie coming October 22nd on Halloween.
Say no more.
So yeah, it's a Sam Neill sci-fi movie, which means Hunter's gonna beg us to review this.
I've already reviewed it in my head.
I was in the moment you said aliens.
Yeah, we're going to have to, like, I'm going to have to buy Apple TV to watch this bullshit movie so that we can review it so Hunter can have his sci-fi Sam Neill.
Because ever since I was abducted, I've been, like, really into aliens.
Moving past that, onto the next news.
I mean, he got it really into communion. Finally, Tales from the Hood. Actor Clarence Williams III, also known Mod Squad and Half Baked. Yes, Cuban B. died.
Your little Mexican friend.
At the age of 81 from colon cancer.
Oh, man.
There goes another one gone.
It's crazy how, like, those whole sequences with him in Tales from the Hood were really fucking terrible. But just his character alone was creepy as shit and just carried those scenes.
Yeah.
His fucking eyes and the expression on his face.
crazy faced.
Yeah.
They just chewed the scenery and the whole fucking thing. And I was like, this could work with this dude.
That's sad. I don't even want to do this anymore. I'm like sad.
You have to do it for him.
There's always a moment in every episode where Eric's like, I can't do this.
Yeah, he's always bowing out.
It's ruined the entire episode for me.
Maybe I should stop ending news with the deaths of people that Eric likes.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably help.
One day it's just going to be like, Eric's favorite aunt, Julian, is dead. Mother called me earlier this morning. She thought this would be the best way.
Stop playing. Stop playing about my aunt, Julian.
Known best for her famous cookies and pie. Her
fucking potato salad is like to die for, so you obviously don't know her.
It's obviously a joke. Your mother doesn't have my number.
Oh.
Strap in and strap on. All right, so ending the news, everybody's answered it.
Fuck your aunt.
My aunt's dead.
And I do it again.
You motherfuckers want to talk about a movie?
His heart wasn't even in it. Alrighty. And so this week on our main topic, we are covering a little movie that came out on Shudder that's come fairly highly recommended.
By who?
Actually, by a lot of people, by a lot of reviews.
Like okay, thanks for clearing that up.
Roger Ebert.
He's dead.
Roger Ebert's assistant or something. Whoever's doing the fucking reviews on Roger Ebert.
There's no P in there.
Roger Ropert said it was a pretty good movie, but it was flawed, which, you know, for an indie movie, shocking, right? There's been a lot of reviews on it, and it's kind of like a lot of talk around it in general, especially for a movie like this, like an indie movie in of this nature. That leads me to the title, which is Caveat. That's the name of the movie, not just me.
Perfectly titled.
Perfectly titled. And that's also what people are saying, is that the title of the movie really kind of sets a mood for it and gives you a vibe for the movie. So, Ellie, do you have a synopsis?
I do. I don't know if it's accurate, but
maybe.
A lone drifter suffering from partial memory loss accepts a job to look after a psychologically troubled woman in an abandoned house on an isolated island.
Yeah.
But there's a caveat.
Caveat.
Oh my God, stop it right now.
Isn't that the color car that your wife got?
That's the caviar.
Caveat.
All right.
Did they say off the bat that he had like memory issues?
Nope.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't. I was like, I didn't get that part till like halfway through the movie.
No, nothing was introduced at the beginning.
Yeah, it's a bullshit thing that we find out later.
By the way, there's no way to talk about this fucking movie without spoilers. I know we did a little bit of a spoiler-free kind of deal last time, even though it kind of wasn't what we thought it was. This one, we're going to have to spoil the shit out of it.
Oh, I'm sorry that the boat at the end of Titanic sinks. Oh, you didn't know that? Oh, read a book.
Let's turn this episode into a Titanic conspiracy episode.
Fucking done.
There wasn't one. Serial numbers match.
They didn't match. The engine was completely different.
The vibe's off.
The vibe's gone. There it is.
Yeah, so the whole setup to this movie, I kind of really liked. You know, this movie starts off with Isaac's, what is he, landlord or some shit?
He's just like
a rando,
friend.
Right?
He's yeah. like a friend.
The thing that they introduce this movie with is like nothing, basically. It's like a guy talking to another guy. You don't know anybody's name.
Yeah, you just hop right in.
Like, yeah, and he's just like, one guy who is Mo is talking to this guy, Isaac.
He tells him, my brother committed suicide. His daughter is schizophrenic now. I need somebody to watch her.
He's just like, hey, I'll give you like $200 a day. Just go up there and fucking babysit. Just make sure she's not getting in trouble. So she goes up there sometimes. It'll last like 5 days. And he's like, okay, which is fucking... The premise, the start of this movie gets more and more unbelievable that... You either immediately check out or you're like, you get involved in the tone of the movie. You have to do one or the other to like continue. Cause they drive out to this fucking place. Turns out this house is remote because it's on a fucking secluded island with like a boat And so the fucking Isaac's like, what? Like, you didn't say that. He's no, I told you it was an island. He's like, you totally didn't say it's an island because I can't fucking swim. So I want to be here. And he's like, well, it's a good thing you got a boat. Let's just fucking go. And then you get to the thing. So they get to the house. The house is a shithole. It's fucking just all kinds of gross, falling apart. And like they find the sister who's like in this like catatonic state she does sometimes where she puts her hands over her face and just like chills out in a corner, and they're sitting there like talking like right in front of her. And he's like, okay, so mom used to sleepwalk. So there's this like leather harness with a chain that goes all the way down to the basement. You need to put this on. And then Isaac's like, the fuck? Like, we're on an island. You didn't say anything about that. Now I gotta wear this, like, you gotta fucking chain me up. And he's like, it's for, you know, her protection. He's like, you know, it'll allow you to move around like the house, but it just, you can't get into like her room, so she feels more protected. And so he's like, no, fuck this. I'm not a dog. You're not gonna put a leash on me. This is stupid. Like, let's just go. He's like, well, you can go all the way fucking back, or you can just get paid. And
he tries to rationalize it, and he's like, every job has a uniform. This is your uniform.
That's how you know he's a fucking, like, kind of like a weird psychopath kind of guy, because he keeps talking to me. Because you put yourself in that shoes, like, someone's like, hey, you fucking do this shit. And if you're like, no, and then like, but think about like the car ride back home, how tense that's going to be. And just think about like, oh, I missed out on all this easy money, or like maybe I'm the asshole. If you put somebody off and be like, why are you being weird about this? I mean, it's like human nature to be like, am I being weird about this? And that's kind of what happens, because eventually he gets Isaac to put that fucking, this like leather vest on that's like chained, and like padlocks it, and then puts the key in the niece's room where he can't reach it.
You notice how his like whole like demeanor changed in that interaction? Like when Isaac was just like, no, I'm not a fucking dog. You're not going to leash me up. And he's just like, what the fuck? I don't like my fucking time being wasted.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's like, ah, come on, buddy, put it on.
Yeah, because you see, it's like him cycling through like what he needs to do to get things done. He's just like,
yeah,
you're insulting me. And so that's going to put him off. And he's like, no, well, I'm your friend. And he's like bargaining with it. It's
clear from the get-go that this Mo guy is a piece of shit. And like, he's the nemesis. He's the bat, or at least involved in the nefarious thing that's going on.
Yeah. He's like, from the get-go, he's painted as this like suspicious, shady dude. But I, if I was Isaac, like, as I'm saying, like, this is the turning point where like Isaac puts it on, and it's either like you check out being like, there's no way I would ever do that, or you're just like, okay, I'm along for this fucking ride. Let's get spoopy with it. Was it Mo bails and leaves Isaac there? He's just kind of like fuddling around the house.
The niece being like catatonic was fucking funny and disturbing at the same time.
Yeah, because it looks comical, but then at the same time, it's like she's like completely out, and it leaves him.
It's like fucked up and funny.
Yeah, it's like he's alone, but he's not alone.
She's a lamp.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's also another thing. Like Mo puts that lampshade on her head, which also like kind of like paints him as like a shitty dude. Like,
yeah, like he just doesn't give a fuck about her, because he's just like, oh, you know, she's in this state, she's like locked in her head, she can't hear us. And he's just, what does he do, like yell at her or something?
He claps his hands in her face. Oh yeah. And like she doesn't move. And so this dude's like, fuck, and like, you know, you already know this dude's up to no good. But he bails, leaves Isaac just kind of like fucking, you know, pedaling around this house. He like opens the door. He can't go outside, but there's like this dog who's also like chained up. And
yeah, what's up with that? I didn't notice anybody ever put the dog there. He just happens to be chained up there all the time.
Yeah,
I think the dog is like a representation of him.
Yeah.
And it's also like he tries to take care of the dog, and like he's concerned about the dog, and like he finds like the one piece of food in the house and like, you know, throws it to the dog. So it also paints Isaac, it like has like a parallel between Isaac as being like chained up and just like left to the elements, and it's also paints Isaac as, you know, a compassionate person.
So compassionate.
He's a good guy that I think. Or is he? So eventually he tries to go to sleep in this like fucking weird ass room that I would not lay on that bed. You know, and there's like a scene with like him and this like spooky like picture on the wall that keeps like looking at him and falling down, and he's just kind of weirded out like that. And he explores the house, and he notices, you know, it's like the chain goes down to the basement and is like this big stake in the concrete. It's padlocked. And so he's like, all right. And what comes first? Like his interaction with like the bunny or the girl?
The girl.
Yeah, because isn't it while he's like staring at the dog out the door, all of a sudden the light goes off behind him and then something yanks his chain?
Yeah, something yanks his chain. But it wasn't the girl.
It wasn't fucking anything.
Yeah, because he went back up the stairs and looked around and was nothing there.
There was never anything in the entire movie.
Hey, that fucking bunny was legit, though.
Dude, I fucking hated that. I hated
that.
Why?
That should look creepy as fuck.
Because you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of that Alice movie from like the 1970s where like that dude just like filmed in like stop motion claymation like Alice in Wonderland, but it's like all gnarly and trippy.
Oh, yeah.
It reminded me of that, like ripping that off a little bit, the vibe at least. But I just hate that look.
This whole movie felt like it was filmed a little like Session 9.
To me, it reminded me of like the vibe that Relic was going for. But at the same time, like it really reminded me of that Alice movie.
What was that fucking movie? It was like the first catfish recommendation that when we started this like thing that we're on now with the cabin by the lake or whatever. Lake Nowhere. Lake. It was like a good version of that.
What?
Kinda. That's what I mean. Just like the because the
what
film.
Are you doing? What way?
Get him, Hunter. Get him, Hunter.
In what way?
And it, just in like the it was basic, like the cinematography wasn't all that and stuff, and just like in the low budgetness of it.
Well, I do like the shots in this movie. I like the color was meant to be disgusting and bland. But like as far as the shots, I thought like it was really cool to have certain shots where it's like a perfect circle, you know, the flashbacks of the mom drawing circles and like she was cutting a circle. He was cutting like a circle out of things. It's all like this timeless loop, which probably speaks more to the movie.
But there was some like basic stuff and there was some edits that were sloppy. But it's like if it's not as bad as Lake Nowhere, because Lake Nowhere like went out of its way to look bad. It like digitally
the different purposes aged completely
it and stuff. But it's like, yeah, just like the low budget. And it's just like if they made like a good movie in the way of Relic, it's kind of like what this would come. But honestly, like this movie, what it reminded me of the most is probably like a Silent Hill style game.
Yes.
Like The Room or something.
The vibes, the tone is so Silent Hill.
Yeah, this could easily be written as a video game where like there's like this weird like nothing set up, so you find yourself chained in this house and all you can do is like explore and like look in cupboards and shit. You're chained up and then like it's these weird like problem solving things of like, well, here's the key, how do I get this key? And you can like maneuver through the wall to get to the phone and like, you know, things change and there's just like spooky shit that's like real subtle. And so this is like kind of like it just basically reminds me of like a video game. This is like playing a video game.
And I don't know about you, Hunter, but his explanation right now made me like this movie so much fucking more now.
Yeah.
Once he put that in my head, I was like, yeah.
Like all the
fun. Yeah.
I've played this game before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, because this movie reminded me of like Silent Hill's The Room. It reminded me of like all the puzzles and like the, you know, Resident Evil 2 and shit.
Did you ever play that game? It's like PT or something like that.
God, yes. Mm-mm. That was so much better than this movie.
But it's kind of that vibe where he's just like going through the house trying to figure out what leads to where and what. And
I want to see that fucking movie. I want to see a low budget PT, like a real one. But aside from that, like, yeah, I completely agree with the tone. Even like the color scheme a little bit is kind of like Silent Hill.
Like going around with a fucking flashlight so you can only see like what the flashlight sees and like power goes out randomly.
And to your point from earlier, you start this movie knowing absolutely nothing, just like a fucking video game. You don't even know who you are.
I mean, yeah, but even like a video game is like, you don't know who you are, kind of like Silent Hill. Like you have a sketchy past that you, for some reason, can't fucking remember. And you're just like in it, you know, right now. So you're like, well, you know.
And I also think that's an important distinction to make, because if you watch this movie not knowing that, it's real easy to like not lose interest, but like not get it as invested. like, if you know what it is going into it, if you know that it's kind of like similar in vibe to like a video game, you can start to like feel it out. Because I do think the thing, and we're probably going to get to this, I'm sorry if I'm skipping ahead, but the thing that this movie does exceptionally well, better than most movies in general, the biggest strength, I think everybody can agree on, is the suspense. Like, the suspense in just moments of nothing happening. You know, it doesn't cut away. It doesn't try to make things, like, go by quicker. If there's a moment that it wants you to stew in and just, like, what's going to happen, like, that what's going to happen feeling, it'll keep you there. Like, way longer than you're comfortable with. And it's a different feeling than, like, a creep factor. Because, like, even movies like Relic, which do something similar, Relic has a kind of adjacent vibe, but Relic amps up the creep factor, amps up the supernatural. In this movie, you don't see supernatural. You don't know what's going on. You know, anything could happen at any moment. Anything could be behind that door.
Yeah, I mean, like, everything until the end is basically, you know, very subtle.
I do like how you're given information and you know that it's not everything. And this movie doesn't try to play it off. Like, you know, there's something else going on in the background, and a lot of movies will try to play it off. Like, no, there isn't. Yes, there is. No, there isn't. Like, this movie doesn't. Like, there is something going on, and you're going to figure it out. And I really like that. I really like that about this movie.
I was coming into this movie, like, bored by explaining it, because I'm like, nothing happens.
Yeah, nothing happens, but it does happen.
Wow, that connection really turned it around for me, because I was so ready to just give this thing a to don't. I was like so ready. I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I was gonna have to disappoint Gary. Gary, if you're listening, I'm sorry. You know, but no, I do like it a lot more now because of that. And I think do you want to kind of dive into like what does happen? Because we haven't talked about anything that actually does happen in this movie.
I was gonna let you guys go for it because I was like in and out on this movie, and I definitely want to rewatch it.
Well, this is one of those where I think everybody's going to have to watch it multiple times because everything in this movie that is said, I feel like it has something that hints at what's going on with it.
Yeah, that was kind of the feeling, too, that I got. Like, I would kind of feel lost because, I mean, I'm sure you can relate. Like, there were moments where I stopped paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I stopped paying attention for a minute. And then next thing I know, it's just like, okay, where are we? What's going on? What the fuck?
Most of the movie, he's just like going from room to room or now he's in this one place. Like you know, you saw him go to this place. So you know where he is now.
Yeah. Like, and you're just like, why are we doing this? Why? Huh?
I mean, so like what ends up kind of happening while exploring this house, he finds a dead body in the basement of that girl's mother.
Yeah.
And the mom also had a key, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how he got out. Which, by the way, I missed completely. I don't know how I missed it, but I missed him like getting the key from her and getting out.
It was just
that part happened real quick, apparently, because I missed that whole thing.
Is that the only one that paid attention to this movie?
It was hard. Honestly, it was hard to pay attention to the whole thing.
Oh, you don't got your ADD medication.
Yeah, that doesn't help. Yeah.
But like, so he finds the body and then like he calls Mo and is like, hey, fucking found the dead body. And there's this crossbow that comes into play. Like the girl, the niece is walking around with a fucking crossbow the whole time.
Which is such fucking like a video game thing. Like somebody patrolling the house, like that you have to like watch out for. She is that figure.
And it can't be as basic as a gun. It's got to be something like limited, like a crossbow. But, you know, it's fucking, whole thing's a fucking video game. Even the fucking, you know, rabbit warning system.
Yeah. And but even then, which has like no logic. And
the rabbit is... Well, I'm pretty much thinking the rabbit is like the ghost of the mom, sort of. It like points you in the direction of the body.
So like, it only beats whenever it's next to the body.
It beats when it wants to get your attention to the body. Because like he was sitting there staring at it, and it was like beating the drum, and then like the basement door opened, and it was like, you know, turn around, and he'd be like, hello, and then he'd like fall asleep, and he'd be like, wake up, turn around, and then that's when he'd go downstairs, and the movie opens up, you know. The very, very, very beginning with the niece walking around with the rabbit, kind of like a lantern, like shining it in all these different rooms. And it only like starts moving when it's the basement. So she goes to the basement. It kind of points her down there. And like, you know, she finds the mom, but we're not aware of that till later, until he finds the mom in that, you know, same place. So I don't know if it's the ghost of the mom, but, you know, the ghost of the mom is obviously there guiding people towards her. And so the rabbit is just kind of like that. That's how the rabbit works.
Ah.
And, you know, so he calls mom and is like, hey, there's a fucking dead body. It's got arrows in it. This bitch is walking around with a crossbow. The fuck is going on? Come get me. This is sketchy. He tricks the niece, locks her in her room. And what we come to learn is, like, he has amnesia. And he had been at this house before because Mo had paid him to kill his brother, the niece's dad, by locking him in the basement. And so there's a whole, like, side story of, like, he thinks that he might have killed this dude, but he can't remember. And then, like, the niece thinks he killed that dude, so the niece is trying to kill him, and she fucks him up with that fucking crossbow.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the mom being a ghost, because he locks himself in the bathroom, and then that trap door opens, and he goes through it, and you see, like, the mom for a split second, which is probably the creepiest,
by far the creepiest part of the
thing in the goddamn movie. Just like if you have a movie and you have just, like, it's dark, and but you have, like, a bright ass flashlight, if you flash that flashlight on something and it, like, ducks away real quick, instant scary.
And I thought, honestly, that was a really interesting dead body, like the way that it was presented. Mm-hmm. It almost reminded me of, like, y'all remember in Insidious, whenever, like, he goes into, like, the whatever, the further,
the spirit world,
and then he walks into this, like, house, and this lady is just, like, smiling and, like, frozen dead on the couch. It reminds me of, like, a grittier version of that, which that freaked me out for years with Insidious. But and I also really liked how they used suspense while he was sitting right next to it. Like, you got a good, like, 3 or 4 minutes of him just sitting next to it, just, like, keep looking back, which is what everybody would do. You know, yeah. If they're next to a fucking dead body like that, just, like, keep looking back, like, has it moved? And then, like, weird shit starts to happen. I don't want to spoil that because that's fucking creepy, but...
I mean, it's a spoiler review.
I mean, it's a spoiler review, but I, you know, still.
When he's in a bathroom, too, like, I guess the ghost of the mom helps him escape, you get probably, like, 3 or 4 good sequences of creep. And when Mo eventually gets there, he's down in the basement, gets locked in, and, like... We know that Isaac's out, but then, like, there's still that thing sawing.
Yeah,
and
that was
Mo realizes that, and we realize that, and the camera shows us that. That was nice.
That was nice.
That was nice.
Like, this is like an old school. I mean, it's a mix of like, you know, a video game mixed with just this, like, old school kind of, like, ghost story. Like, at the end of the day, this is just another, like, haunted house, you know, murderous plot.
Yeah, exposed. This movie could have easily have been an old, like, black and white 50s movie.
Well, it also reminds me of that movie that's pretty underrated that I don't know if it's still on Amazon, but it's a Spanish film, The Laplace's Demon, which is like a kind of like a weird throwback to that haunted house, like, old school horror, but, you know, in modern, I guess it's modern times, maybe not, but people go missing and there's all kinds of, like, weird, unique supernatural stuff going on. But yeah, if you like this movie, check that out. The Laplace's Demon. Similar vibes to me.
It says spoozy moments.
Yeah, but it's just that old school creep factor, you know?
Mm-hmm. Can't be beat. Won't be beat.
Honestly, it's refreshing because we haven't had a lot of movies like that. We've all gone to full blown, like, adrenaline pumping horror.
This is adrenaline pumping in a different way with the tension. And yeah, you have limited cast, extremely limited location, and, you know, basically you're exploring a house. That's it. So, I mean, you're not going to have, you know, crazy, crazy shit happening, but this is just like a good, straightforward classic horror. You'll probably move into the to-dos and to-don'ts.
All right.
And I'll go first. I mean, I think it's no mystery that I like all movies.
Yeah.
And I like this movie. I enjoyed the whole thing. I liked the tension of the movie. Like I said earlier, I like how it doesn't try to shy away that there is something sinister going on in the background. It doesn't try to make you think that, you know, it's something else. And I really like that. I don't know. I just, I have to give it a to-do. Like, it's a hard to-do for me.
Boom.
So I'm going to go ahead and give this movie a to-do as well, albeit that I was first time watching it, just like on first impressions, not going to give it a to-do just because there's really nothing that actually happens in this movie. There's nothing that's explained. So if you're a person who likes details, you're not going to like this movie. There's hardly any details, hardly any context. The movie is like just full understatement. But really what does it for me is that tension, that unique tension that almost feels like in real life. It capitalizes on that feeling of letting your imagination run wild. And it can only do that because it doesn't present what's happening. It could be a ghost story. It could be a demon story. It could be like a man versus man, you know, like, you know, the evils of humanity story, which it could be, right? We don't know anything about this movie. Like, I will give it its due, but my critiques of that is some people are not going to like this movie just right off the bat because there's nothing satisfying about this movie in any way.
I mean, satisfying, maybe you putting it together, you know, as a movie watcher, like once you know, put all the pieces together, because you really kind of just like,
where are the pieces?
Mess. Just like when you figure out what happened to who.
What happened?
Well, if you don't know, then you're dumb.
He's on the attack again. He's on the attack. I love it.
You tell me what, because I honestly, like, from the pieces that I've got, I have no idea what the motive was for any of this. I have no idea what, like, yeah, I guess he's trying to kill Isaac or whatever to fucking, you know, cover up for, like, wanting to kill his brother. But why did he want to kill his brother in the first place? Why did that fucking leather vest even exist? Like, why was the ending so stupid?
The mother, like, had a sleepwalking problem.
That's stupid.
It was... I agree, you know, I'll give it a to-do, and I'll agree with, like, Hunter's point, as in this was a clunky movie, but it's, you know, a nothing movie. It's a very slow burn. There's not really anything that happens. I guess the only, like, satisfaction is, like, you know, if you're involved and you want to know what happens and you can put the pieces together, and Hunter's in it, I did, and...
Put the pieces together for me. I would love to know what happened in this movie.
I'm like, oh, you don't want to spoil shit, so I'm not going to spoil shit. But I'm just saying, like...
I don't know what's going on either.
Okay, to speak to that is that's it's a compliment I had to this movie, is this movie does not treat the viewer as an idiot. It's not going to spell shit out for you. It's going to give you quick scenes, and they might be clunky, they might be pointless, they might be slow, they might be kind of like a little beyond, but it's not going to spell shit out for you. It's going to give you a quick scene, and you like put that shit together, or you don't. It's not treating us as a viewer as stupid. It's, you know,
maybe it should.
It's clunky. Maybe it should. I mean, this movie is an independent movie. It's clunky. There's some weird edits. There's, you know, some weird storyline. I mean, the suspension of disbelief has to be so fucking, you know, large, because anybody that starts this movie off is like, I'm not going to fucking chain myself to this house with a crazy person. Like, fuck that. Like, on the island with, like, no food, no phone, no, like, fuck this. I'm not, you know, I'm not down with this. But the fact that this Isaac dude is stupid enough to do it, I mean, then you're basically like in it. You watch this unfold, and it's like, you know, it's a mystery that is solved, and we're watching it get solved, and there's like ghosts and murder and all this stuff. And, you know, we're given what we needed. You don't need like a, you know, like most things, you don't need like all the shit spelled out for you. You don't need all the answers. You get like what's going
on. What is going on?
And even in the ending,
Bill Hunter, what's going on? God damn it.
Ending of the movie, just kind of like, you know, it before credits, the shot is just kind of like it ends, like you just have this like blam. So even that kind of like leaves you in like what's going to happen. All the
what
answers,
is going to happen,
that's up to you. Either he bails and takes the dog, or he bails and takes the girl, or like that fucking girl kills him.
Okay, what happened in this movie?
You want to end it, or you want to?
I don't,
like,
give a shit. Just tell me what happened in this movie.
Well, he needs to know.
The fucking Mo dude fucking killed his brother and the mom, and then had a loose end in Isaac, because Isaac kind of was hired to like kill the dad, but somebody had already, you know, beat him to it, and then
who beat him to it?
Either Mo not telling us something, or the sister. Or the crazy mom.
It's his niece, by the way.
His niece. Here you go. His niece. And then...
Who's Denise?
I don't know. Ellie's just bringing in characters. Fucking
Denise, the landlady? Come on. And then Marguerite, the neighbor, comes in. But,
Marguerite?
But no, it's like... And so, like, his
that
memory...
batch.
But by the way, everything that you've told me, all of that, yeah, that's obvious. But it's also, like... boring as fucking hell.
I was hoping
that there is something more to it, because it's so like, what is the motive for him to kill his brother?
Doesn't matter.
No, that does matter, because
it doesn't.
I No,
what's,
it does.
What's the motive? Because we're in Isaac. We're with Isaac. We don't know what the fucking motive. We're not participating.
Didn't he like give an explanation at one point though?
No, he did not.
I could have swore he said that his brother is also schizophrenic and that he knows too much about him. Yeah, that's what I was trying to think. Yeah, I was like, I don't know if that's just what he's trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says he knows something about him. Like, there's obviously something shitty about Mo, but I want to know more about that.
Mo was like, I can't trust him. Like, but that's not the, it's not, I'm telling you, it's not the point. Like, we're in Isaac's shoes.
Then the point is stupid. Then the point is boring.
Yeah. Well, this is a boring movie. This
he just changed his mind. Say it's a to don't now.
All right, it's a to don't.
But he like Isaac is set up, and then like he's like, you know, go kill this dude because I can't trust him. So he goes to do it, but then Isaac's not a shit. So he's like, I'm not gonna kill this dude. I'm gonna warn this dude that he's trying to be killed. Turns out,
talk about that. But yeah, that was an interesting thing.
And then so Mo's like, well, I can't trust Isaac, so he has to eliminate Isaac. And he has like an accident.
Clearly, he pushes him off. But where has Isaac been the whole time? Like, he doesn't remember shit. But like, where has he been that he grew a fucking full ass beard? Like, how did he meet up with Mo again? That's something that like I would have liked to know to get invested in this movie. Otherwise, it's just boring.
He had an accident. He was in the hospital.
Yeah. It's not pertinent to the house and the situation that we're in.
It is literally pertinent to the situation that we're in.
It's not at all. I don't see how that's even important.
Didn't they explain he was like in some kind of car accident or something? And
no, they didn't.
In the hospital.
That just said he was in an accident.
That's your brain filling in the gaps.
I know that they said he like had amnesia after that.
Yeah, I mean,
he couldn't remember being in the house in the first place.
It's a low budget independent movie, so it's like
I think it's the filmmaker's first movie.
Whatever fucking review Hunter made up in his mind where they said it was like a flawed movie. It's a fucking hugely flawed movie. It's a very clunky movie. It's a very you know freshman amateur effort of a movie, but
here's the thing, like a couple more details, like a couple more just things thrown in there could have made it more solid and get it more invested. Because
I 100% guarantee you that the filmmaker did not want this solid.
I get that.
Hunter's argument is that that's wrong.
My argument is that you can make it to where it's a little bit more palatable. You know,
you need a little bit of satisfaction in there to make a movie good.
That's the thing. There's no satisfaction in the end. Like everything that you've told me makes me like, just not like the movie because even if you tie in all the puzzle pieces and stuff, the puzzle pieces are stupid.
It's like a random story your neighbor just told you and you're like, well, why did that happen? They're like, I don't know.
If that's actually what happened, I could walk away from this movie and never remember anything about it ever again.
I mean, again, that goes back to the video gameness of it. Fucking stupid and pointless. It's just another level for nothing.
That's no.
Or was the niece's schizophrenia
the reasoning?
Is her schizophrenia causing her to do violent things and she's the one that killed everybody?
My idea is that the whole thing is just like a metaphor for some shit. Like it has to be.
That we don't know.
Yeah, that we don't. Like that's what my thing is. Like I don't think there has to be more information. Like for instance, why is there anything supernatural going on at all? Why, what's the deal with the rabbit? Well, like why does that exist? Like there's nothing to bite onto in this movie. There's just like, this is a perfect movie to watch when you're baked out of your mind and let your mind run wild. But
no, we do not condone drug use.
I mean what's the point of Eraserhead? Like who gives a shit?
But this
is
actually very Lynchian.
Yeah, and get this, Mo's other name is fucking Barrett. So like, what's up? What the fuck's going on?
I think
that's all part of it. Like, I mean, like I'm not interested in the details. I'm interested in what I'm being shown. And I think that's the part that, you know, they're worried about as like an art, just like this is an art fucking piece, limited and junky. And
no, and I get that. Like, and you know, coming back to it from like that Lynchian perspective, you know, I do like it in that sense, but at the same time, like at least David Lynch will just put some shit to make it interesting. Like David Lynch will put like random like shit in there to like make you want to know more. I don't even fucking want to know more about this movie.
I mean, yeah, it's a nothing movie, but you know,
it is a nothing movie. Like,
you guys want to change your to-dos and taints?
I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, I still like it.
Yeah, I mean, I still like Dread Building. I think people are going to need to watch it because like, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just biased with it, but I mean, it is highly flawed. I'm just disappointed because it could have been. It just could have been.
It could have been.
A lot of things could have been.
Yeah, I know. You keep saying that.
Every movie we do could have been something good, but they're usually not. A lot of the movies we review, they could have just put in one line or cut one scene and it could have made complete sense. But they're like, no, let's put this like no big bullshit.
Yeah.
So this is on par. So was that try do?
I guess it's a try do. Everybody's like, pissed off now though.
This is like the perfect movie to review when we're in like in this not mood. The festive mood. Yeah.
Now we're gonna move on to a fucking movie that I was highly surprised by.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Don't do that.
Give me more.
So this movie is Elliot's pick. I'm gonna let Elliot introduce it because it's Elliot's movie and he's an Elliot kind of guy.
Elliot.
Mean right now. Oh, that's anger man.
He's so mad. He's so fucking mad. Hey Elliot, you got any movie recommendations?
Yeah.
what was that, Hunter?
Yeah.
Constipation's a motherfucker.
Do you have something to say?
No.
Okay. Yeah, so this week is my movie recommendation, and I recommended 1981's Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. And the synopsis for that is a small southern town, a wrongfully killed man exacts revenge from beyond the grave on those who murdered him. This is the basic plot. But basically, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow, I came across this on YouTube. I think it was the first year of the podcast, and I was my one and only time participating in like the 31 days of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have like a lot of streaming apps or whatever they are. And so I mainly went through YouTube watching free horror movies, and so I came across the like Rawhead Rex and shit.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I came across a Blu-ray rip of Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. And if you watch this movie, or if you're just like, you know, casually into horror, you've probably seen this face of the Scarecrow somewhere. Like, I mean, the movie poster, even as a kid, I saw this particular Scarecrow kind of with like the O face and like the pitchfork before, but I hadn't seen this movie till a couple of years ago. And this is a made-for-TV movie that CBS put out the week of Halloween in 1981.
So it is a made-for-TV movie.
It's made-for-TV. CBS made-for-TV movie.
Okay, that explains so much.
Yeah, there's like no gore or anything in this movie. You know, like straight-up crazy kills. It's just basically a collection of just like phenomenal character actors just like let loose in this like made for TV melodrama about the Bubba, who is like a 36 year old man, but has like the intellect of like a 7 year old. So he has like a best friend who is another 7 year old girl, and they just like play around all the time. And she's kind of like an instigator and likes to get into some shit.
Yeah.
And is always like doing fucking horrible shit. And gets herself attacked by a dog. Bubba saves her. But then the rumor mill kind of goes around that he like killed her. And so there's this vigilante group made up of like the postman, like a gas station attendant, like a farmer, and like the dude that works at like the grain silo.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess like they go after him.
Bunch of local working class heroes.
Yeah, but they already have it out for him. And you find out later that the postman is probably like the biggest, you know,
instigator.
Yeah, like, well, just like evil man. So they eventually find him like hiding in like the guy, like the costume of a scarecrow, and they like cold bloodedly like just like murder him. And they find out that the girl A survived, and B said she was attacked by a dog, and like Bubba's a hero. So they kind of, you know, arranged a crime scene. Like he came at them with a pitchfork and they were defending themselves, and it goes to the court and they get off, and like the lawyer and Bubba's mother are all like, you know, you're gonna get yours. And then they start, you know, getting kind of like harassed. Like they, you know, one of the dudes has like a scarecrow like in his field, and you know, they start getting paranoid that like somebody knows, and they go to the dude that works at the post office, basically the fucking evil mailman.
Mm-hmm.
Played by what's his name? Charles
Durning,
who like, I mean, like all these people, like if you like, I could say their name, you're probably not going to, you know, the listeners are probably not going to know who they are. But as soon as you see their face, you're like, yeah, I've seen him in a fucking movie. And like Charles Durning is basically like this like sweaty evil mailman. And, you know, he's just like, everybody shut up. Nobody knows anything. Someone's fucking with us. Just like, it's a prank. And basically, you know, these good old boys, part of this vigilante, start getting bumped off one by one. And, you know, Charles Durning starts getting more and more desperate and paranoid. And we also learn some other things about him, about he has like maybe some unsavory tendencies toward children, which might have sparked this whole thing. I think as he was jealous of Bubba because the mailman wanted to
hang out with little girls,
hang out with that little girl.
Yeah, I thought it was weird. He was always like spying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like with fucking binoculars and shit.
Because he instigates. He went to that farmer dude, the dude from the dad from Son-in-Law.
Walter from Son-in-Law, baby.
Hell yeah.
My favorite part about this movie, though, is Dr. Giggles playing Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Yeah. What was his name in Darkman?
Oh, yeah. Robert Durant.
Yeah, Durant. Fucking A. Yeah, Durant. Yeah. See, like, we could say that shit and you don't know who we're talking about. But as soon as you see this dude's fucking face, you know exactly who he is.
Yeah.
It's a TV movie, so there's not anything like hardcore going on. And it's 1981, so it's like not the best. But like this movie fucking is on point. Like it fucking goes.
I was so fucking shocked by this movie.
It's so fucking good. I gotta say, though, I was thinking like this had to be a made for TV movie because I know I've seen it a couple times. But like Hunter pointed out, this is one of the movies that I probably watch while like doing chores and shit.
Or you saw it as a fucking kid.
Or I saw it. Yeah, exactly. But the whole time I'm just like, where's the fucking gore? Where's the gore? Perfect opportunity. Like it has these phenomenal ass kills off camera. And it left me like when you're like looking forward to, you know, your favorite meal at a restaurant and, you know, you finally sit down to eat it and they burned it and it tastes like shit and you're just left like feeling empty inside. Like that's what that made me feel.
You know, honestly, I really enjoyed that they didn't do a lot of shit on screen because I feel like it added to the movie. Like
on some of the kills, I have to agree with you. Some of them like were better left.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you're just like, fuck. Those were kills where you would like, if you saw that in real life, you would turn your head to not directly look at it and it added to it. But some of them were like, you needed to see some gore, some shit splatter or something.
Yeah. Like there were these kills, like they don't have a lot of kills in this like movie.
Four maybe.
It's a
revival. There's a few though.
It's a, like, well, but they're all like four. Main chapters, you know,
there's like seven kills.
I don't think so.
Just let me count.
Every death scene in this movie, for the most part, is hard to watch, except for, which I don't want to spoil too much because this is supposed to be the spoiler-free segment, but one kill that is unrelated to the revenge part of it, I'm like thinking, how did that person even fucking die?
Yeah.
That's just fucking, that's the melodrama. It's zoom-ins and just like 1981 melodrama. Like,
you know, it reminded me of like those older films where you really start to like see somebody unravel. Like, what's that one that you like, Eric? That's a Polanski? Repulsion.
I was going to say Repulsion?
Yeah, like it reminded me of that, where you get to see some of these people start to unravel. And that is a really interesting, like, layer of spookiness, of horror, on top of the kills that are happening. You know, so I really enjoyed that aspect of it. This movie, I thought, was very strong for what it was. I never would have, like, this has never been a movie where I looked at it and I'm like, I want to watch that movie.
Yeah,
it looks fucking dumb. Borderline throughout the whole movie, you kind of think like maybe this is all in their heads. Maybe this is the guilt coming back, right? Like maybe, you know, you do have that a little bit of that aspect in there before that was even really a thing, right? You know, before that was a staple in horror.
Yeah, this is a made for TV movie. So, I mean, it's 1981 and it's made for TV. So this is so fucking limited. Like there's a house that burns down that looks like it's like a high school play set where it's just like cardboard like cut out and like kind of like spray painted black. It's not even, doesn't even look burnt down. So I mean this movie's crazy limited, but it's fucking still just fucking accomplishes so much. Like all the kills being like off screen and stuff like that, you know, obviously yeah, it's not gonna get on TV, but at the same time what's going on is they're made to look like accidents so that the people of the town aren't really concerned, but it leaves your main characters who are like, you know, paranoid about it, kind of like up in the air with they don't fucking know what's going on. Like maybe it wasn't. Well, let's go investigate it. And like, what do you think? And then they, and like the infighting amongst themselves. And I mean, I could have really used a lot more Scarecrow. Like, it'd be cool to see like the Scarecrow in some of these like accidents, quote unquote. But it, you know,
nah, man. I didn't
really need it.
I didn't really need it. But also, I feel like it would have taken away from the movie having that aspect of like, is this really happening? Because you start to wonder, like, is it just their guilt? Like, if the Scarecrow was in every scene, to me, it would take away from that aspect of it.
Well, from what they show us, like, we know that someone is doing something to these men.
But is there really?
Is there really? But also having a lack of a Scarecrow, is it like one of them? I mean,
that's what. Yeah, right, right. Like,
does somebody know? Because there's like, I mean, like they're trying to figure out like what's going on, and they point to like different people in the town that they think it is, and they think it's like the lawyer, or they think it's like the mom, or like somebody she hired.
And the best thing about it is you don't even see any other people when this is happening.
Yeah. And why is it called Dark Knight of the Scarecrow if pretty much everything takes place during the day?
I was gonna say, man.
Well, there's one dark.
Multiple night. Days too.
Yeah. But now there's. I think everybody dies at night.
Yeah, everybody dies at night, but...
Do they, though?
They do.
I do like how they kind of allude a little bit to the little girl being the killer.
I do. I like that.
Fucking Charles Durning just, like, he's just creepy on his own, and just, like, there's a scene where he corners that girl at that dance or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's weird, because it's, like, the whole town, like, knows, like, I mean, it's 1981, it's TV movie, but he's like this unspoken pedophile, which is like so fucking dark to put on TV back then.
Yeah.
And like he's like,
I was not expecting that. Like whenever that came out, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Like,
why is everybody so quick to jump up and go like murder this guy? Everybody's like, fuck yeah, let me get my gun.
It's because like they're all like friends. I mean, they're all like different levels of like the working class. But I think it's Charles Durning's like fucking evil mailman. Like, he's jealous of Bubba's relationship with the 7-year-old because he's this fucking sicko. But I think he's also been like probably like stoking up his because they have a scene where he goes and he's like, hey, they're hanging out over there again. And he's like, hey, man, just let it go. He's like, no, man, it's only going to be a matter of time. And he's like, well, I'll go kick the shit out of him, but I ain't going to do more than that.
Like that shit happens everywhere. It's like, oh, that's the black fella down the road. You know, I never trusted him. Oh, well, you know, he's hanging out with that girl, that little girl down the road. Can't have that. You know, it's the same shit.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking that during the movie that this very easily could have been a race issue.
Absolutely.
Like, it could have been written that way. And they were like, nah, let's just make it a mentally challenged person.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same concept. It's the mob mentality. It's like the
prejudices and the zeitgeist.
It's a fallacy where you think you assume something and then you take it as fact when others believe it. I don't know what that's called, but
stereotypes.
No, because it's more like they already had their own like ideas about this guy. And then like once something relatively negative came out, they're like, we got to do something about it. Everything that we thought to be true was just proven right. We got to kill this man. So I don't know, like something that it's called.
Standard biases. But like,
yeah,
it's just like the fucking.
Confirmation bias, I think.
There you go, confirmation bias. Okay, so it's a Halloween movie. I'll just say it's a Halloween movie, but this is obviously, everybody's sweating. This is obviously shot in the summertime. But I love the fact that it's so south that it's like the October that it's 90 degrees. But just going, it's a Halloween movie and it's about a killer scarecrow, maybe, or it's about ghosts, maybe. And like that's all you'd fucking need in the 1981 like Halloween movie that you're gonna put on fucking network TV. But the fact that you have these undertones of like mob mentality and this pedophile postal worker, and you know, at the same time you have like what the Atlanta child murders going on in the South, and you have the balls to put this shit on TV, like that's fucking dark. This is a fucking dark ass movie when you look at it as
it is.
No, just
as a whole
society as a whole. Yeah.
But it's also a very strong movie. This movie has no business being as good as it is.
No, everybody's just acting their asses off.
Everybody in this movie, all like fucking 9 characters that are in this movie. Oh, and also the court scene. What the fuck, dude? That court scene, highly emotional. And that attorney is going for the fucking throat. You know, he's like,
and he's fighting everyone. Basically, he's like, no, this is fucking murder. And everybody's like, nah, not really. He's like, you got to be kidding me. You guys don't see they just fucking murdered this guy? And the whole town's just like, nah.
Yeah, and then when he meets him outside, he's just like, I know what you did. He's like, why are you smiling? Because you know you got away with something? It's like, well, you know, it's Tuesday. We got to, you know, I'm kind of wondering why I'm not at the pub right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, fried chicken. Like,
yeah, it's fried chicken at Betsy's or some shit. Yeah.
How is bullshit. This? Okay, this dude is at a halfway house. Like, was that mean something different back then? Like, I thought that was like when you were like getting reformed and shit. Like,
that's what I thought.
Or is it just like a weird B&E that he lives at? With all these other old people, like, I don't get his living situation.
Maybe he's in a halfway house because he was already convicted of some kind of pedophile shit.
But then how is he working as a USPS and his fucking room's full of guns?
Different times.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what the fuck's going on with his living situation. But yeah, maybe it's different times. I'm not old enough to understand what the fuck's going on.
Well, I mean, they do allude to him having a drinking problem. Yeah, it's probably a sober living house that he's living in, not a like a.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, because it was fucking awkward, and he felt like ashamed when like, I mean, the whole fucking school dance scene is fucking off the chain too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is tense. Like, everybody's just like chewing the goddamn scenery to bits in this movie. It's so strongly acted that it's nuts. I mean, and this kind of set the way for other, like, the I think it's just called Scarecrow, like the Scarecrow films,
mm-hmm.
where it'd be like, you know, kind of the Pumpkinhead type thing where like someone's getting revenge via the Scarecrow or this like disabled person or like a someone that was picked on. And then, you know, kind of, you know, Scarecrow like yeah. avenges them or they are the Scarecrow somehow. I mean, like, there's a whole series of that, and I think this kind of like started that.
Oh, 100%. It was, yeah, this is 1981, and by the way, this movie, you could have told me it was filmed in like 71 and I would have believed you, because the way everything about it is, the way it looks, I keep in mind I watched it on 360p, thanks Elliot, on YouTube.
Is that bad or good?
Fucking terrible. It's disgusting.
It looks good to me. It's better than a fucking...
You have no standards.
It's better than a DVD.
It's 100% not better than a DVD. But
well, wait, you might have clicked on the wrong one. You might have got the wrong one. What was it? What would the thumbnail look like?
Fuck out. You think I remember what the goddamn thumbnail looks like for this fucking movie?
Well, I don't know. I watched the Blu-ray rip that's up on YouTube.
It's also on Amazon, and it's Blu-ray quality on Amazon.
That's fucking stupid.
I don't know what you were watching. But mine is crystal clear.
Must be fucking nice. All right, so
it was.
Yeah, because it's fucking, because the movie's actually shot pretty fucking good.
I fucking hate this.
Yeah. and it's not like full of film scratches or nothing. It's fucking, this is like a crystal clear like looking movie.
Must be fucking nice.
I don't know what the fuck you were watching.
I was watching a 360p like TV rip of it.
Like somebody recorded it with their VCR when it came out on TV.
Yes, it looks awful.
Yeah, there's a few on YouTube, but there's a good one.
I wish you would have linked me the good one, but
yeah, I'll do that today.
It's on Tubi. You didn't see it on Tubi?
On Tubi? No.
Yeah.
Well, because like you is one of those things where like you like yelled at Hunter to find something in like 3 minutes, and so. You did that to me, and so I didn't even like have time to look. I just like.
But honestly, another banger.
The fucking banger.
I never would have watched this movie on my own.
Yeah, this movie is a fucking tight ass movie.
I'm upset that everybody has loved every fucking selection except mine so far.
What are you talking about?
Everybody hated No One Lives.
I mean, you know.
And Hunter got some hate. I think I'm the only one where.
Yeah, mine got hate.
I've got unanimous. I've gotten like up for like 5. Like I'm unanimously liked in all my decisions. But I think you and Hunter are split for to do's and to don'ts.
But yeah, No One Lives is just I don't know.
Eat a dick.
So all right, back to the.
I loved it.
But what? But let's talk about this. What the fuck? What? Why the name Dark Knight of Scarecrow? Terrible.
Yeah,
that's the worst part of the movie.
Yeah, the name like is completely confusing.
Maybe Scarecrow is already something else. I have to research that. Or maybe they thought it was more Halloween-y.
I'll give you Halloween.
Because, like, as soon as you put this shit on TV, there's going to be like fucking rooms of executives like trying to like tweak this.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it was supposed to be like a theatrical movie. And then like it ended up being the television.
Well, it felt like it.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was rent like that, and then as soon as it got the green light, it fell to the network, and then that's why it's shot with, you know, no violence and commercial cuts and shit.
And real quick, I just want to speak a little bit to this. Like, every kill in this movie is done like with just shit that's lying around, but not in like a planted way. Like not like in other horror movies where it's just like, oh, you happen to have a saw in the garage, like a fucking chainsaw. Like, you know, it's all done by stuff that you would never expect.
Everything is confused as accidents.
Like, yeah, it's made to look by like an accident, but at the same time, it's just like really fitting with the scene, but it's not in a corny way.
Like, Bob accidentally got run over by his tank that he has in his backyard.
Which is stuff that happens all the time. Yeah. Not the tank, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, just something outrageous.
So it's but just
yeah,
like, it could actually happen. Oh, you know, he accidentally shot himself in the face, you know, with a harpoon gun or no. It's nothing like
it's
that.
It's all their, you know, goes to their trade and their places of business and work.
Exactly. Like, it's stuff that it could actually, like, you would never bat an eye. And that's what also makes it just seem like, are these people just losing it because they're with of their guilt, you know? Yeah. Kind of like the telltale heart and all that.
Well, that one guy was definitely losing it from the guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was cracking. He's his fucking 60s throwback hat.
All of them were cracking. Like the fucking guy who looks like, he looks like some actor. I mean, he's an actor, but the bigger guy with he was all sweaty and he was like losing it too. He was the first one to lose it.
How awesome was the first Scarecrow scene though, where he's like, fixing his till machine or whatever the fuck it is. And his wife's like, are you planting already? And then he's like, are you fucking stupid, you dumb bitch? Of course I wouldn't.
And he just hits her.
Yeah, and he just fucking hits her. Like, that's how it felt. Like, he just, like, responded so aggressively.
That's how it was
what
back then.
What the fuck are you talking about, you bitch?
Hey, like, different times. You can't judge him for that. Can't fault him.
And she's just like, no, baby, I'm just testing because there's a scarecrow out there. Bitch, you done lost your goddamn mind.
And I think he does say something like that. Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to insult you before I turn around and look. He's like, no, you stupid fucking idiot. Now I'll slowly turn my head to see what you're talking about. And goddamn.
And then just pouring sweat off of his face after that.
Yeah, I think that's why it felt 70s, because everybody's just pouring sweat out their ass.
Well, dude, like, I was just like, oh, yeah, there's domestic violence in that house. Faux show.
Hundo. For sure. I mean, that goes just the darkness of it. Like this is a fucking, man, this banger of a movie. It's so dark on so many levels outside of just, like, the murdering and the killing and the...
Are you speaking without being spoken to?
Yeah.
I will say this movie's better than Caveat.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, but
I mean,
I think that's just fact, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a better made movie, just unanimously. Like,
yeah, you know. This movie's kind of a fucking classic.
Dude, if they would have put in like the actual fucking like violent murder scenes, movie would have probably been instant cult classic. It's a lot of notoriety for this movie.
I think it is a cult classic.
It is, because it's got a high rating, but like that would have put it like up there with, I don't know, shit like Evil Dead and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I get you.
More cult than that.
But yeah.
I mean, I think I could see a lot of people just dismissing this movie because it's a made-for-TV movie. And like,
oh, it looks terrible.
Especially the gorehounds and stuff, but
I love when they're investigating it, like, you know, trying to figure out like, well, how to get turned off, and then he's just like, "What?"
Oh, that reminds me of one of my favorite scenes: a fucking hat sticks to the shovel.
Yeah, sticks to the shovel.
Like, yes, that is dope.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I mean, like this movie is really smart. It's very smart. It's good writing, great acting. It's shot well. It is a made-for-TV movie, so don't be expecting like blood or guts or anything like crazy like that. But I mean, you get what you want, and then at the end, you get the fucking, you know, all that. So
all comes together at the end.
Try do on this bitch.
Try do do. Two try do's.
Such a great episode.
Fuck, that reminds me, I'm gonna be Hunter, but I don't refill my scripts.
I have to fucking call mine in, otherwise I just fucking go up there.
Why?
Because it's a fucking controlled substance. So I have to literally call my doctor and be like, hey, I need you to send this script over. But I forgot to do that on Friday, so now I'm fucked.
That seems too fucked up to, like, rely on. So, I mean, like,
it's not. You can't rely on it.
The doctors, you know, they're all pissed off. Like, all these motherfuckers calling me to, like, re-up their prescriptions. But, like, you prescribed it for life every fucking day. Like, what do you expect?
Like, yeah.
It needs to be a better system.
Well, it's highly regulated, so, you know. Because people sell it on the street and, like, you know, that's
goddamn college students.
Yeah, all these fucking, you know what? I just need to go to a fucking campus and just buy some. Anyway, what about drugs?
You know what? I have anxiety, so like I'm too anxious to go to the fucking doctor. But
wait. You have anxiety?
Making fun of Eric. But
okay.
No, I don't want to go in there and be like, because I feel like if I go in there, I don't know how to like go in there. A, I don't have a primary care physician. B, I don't know how to like go in there and just be like, I need Xanax, and then like them give it to me. And like, I don't know how that would work out. Like, I don't think
I just find that so hilarious because I refused Xanax and they forced it on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to give you this. And I'm like, we can't just like talk about it. Like, we can't just like talk my problems out.
They're like, no.
They're like, oh no.
You're beyond help, sir.
You're going to need medicine. I'm not taking it. He threatened to fucking get me locked up if I didn't take it.
Why don't you sell some to Elliot?
Fuck no. Because then what if I need it?
That's quick complaining then.
Yeah, you got like 30 of them a month, dude.
Yeah.
I feel like if I go in there, they're just going to be like, well, you're trying to sell it. I'm not going to give it to you. Like, this is how I feel. But then I always hear these stories of people like, I can get fucking Xanax by saying like my butt hurts.
No, I just went. I was honestly scared as fuck my first time going to a doctor. I thought they were going to lock me up. Fucking my wife had to drag me out of the house.
Maybe they should have.
You know, my doctor was pretty fucking badass. He's just like, nah, you're just going through some shit, bro. We'll get you right.
No, I'm forcing that Xanax right in your mouth.
Yeah.
Here, open your mouth.
He's like, no, dude, we just need to get you to calm down, bro, and then you'll be good.
Open your fucking mouth.
You should go see my doctor. He's cool.
Yeah,
he's British and he has a sexy accent.
Actually, you probably should go see Eric's doctor if he's just like shoving Xanax down people's throats.
He is not shoving them down their throats. He's just actually not. I mean, I just don't see why doctors would be like, yeah, go fucking, we're going to lock you up. How are they going to make money that way?
Dude, that's how I quit therapy because she's like, well, we're going to talk about institution. And I'm just like, nope, bye. And then she's like, why'd you quit? And I was like, no, fucking think about that shit.
Dumb.
Dark
Knight of the Scarecrow.
Yeah, so that movie fucking as a sleeper. But I was aware of it, I think, subconsciously from, because I've seen that fucking scarecrow throughout my childhood, and I've seen t-shirts popping up, you know, on like internet stuff now. But yeah, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow fucking rips, dude.
It does.
I immediately told my brother about it like a couple years ago when I watched it on YouTube. I was like, dude, check this fucking movie out.
And he was just like, sick.
Yeah, he's like, it's fucking sick.
Tight.
Yep. All right. Well, two shreddies. That's I guess that's about it. Anybody else have anything they want to talk about, bring up?
Yeah, dude, so my wife's gone fucking just like full on wild treat yourself fucking mode.
I wonder why. I wonder what started that.
Well, not only that, but like the next day we got a new couch, and then like everything in the living room, all the decorations, everything's changed. She's like bought all kinds of shit for the house, and I'm just like, who the fuck is paying for this shit? I'm just like, what the shit? And then I was like, hey, I need a new belt for work. Like, nah, you're gonna have to wait.
The fuck? That makes me mad.
That upsets me.
I'm off my meds and now my emotions are getting fucking ADD. Yeah.
She's like super loving right now. She's like, do you want anything? Is there anything I can buy you?
Yeah, a new fucking belt for work.
I'm just like, can you buy happiness? Because I need that in my life. I need a cure for depression. You got that? Huh?
She's like, we can get a new puppy. And you're like, all right, I guess.
Is it my turn now?
I don't know.
No, it's Hunter's turn. Hunter's turn.
I just did mine.
Yep.
Nope.
Fuck.
Eric, go pick it now. Go. You got to do it now. You had now.
Kidnapped.
Oh, God. But,
yeah, the movie selection kind of goes the same as our to-dos and to-don'ts, where it's like Eric first, then Hunter, then I'm last. That's how we do it.
That is actually like how we do it. Or not. I didn't even realize that we had an order for, I guess we do.
So it is.
It is Eric's turn. And what movie do you want to review next week?
I don't know.
Do we need to do Quiet Place 2 or what?
No.
Okay.
There's more horror movies. I mean, like this, Caveat was a 2020 movie. So, I mean, we can go back in time, dude, catch up.
I mean, yeah, there's been a lot of like indie sleeper movies that came out, you know, while we were on break and shit. I mean, if there's a movie that y'all want to hear us review, you know, shout it out. We'll do it. We take requests. If you want to hear shit on your favorite movie, let's go.
They won't fucking do it. They never say anything.
Bitches. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, y'all, on this emotional roller coaster of an episode. you know, if you have anything that you want us to do, anything you want us to review, anything you want to say to us, just shoot us a line at cultofhorrorpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at Cult of Horror Podcast. You can find us on Facebook at Cult of Horror, YouTube Cult of Horror, and the TikToks.
How's that TikTok coming?
Listen, man.
Said to get the album ideas and get out of rehab.
You don't ask questions.
Don't ask questions. I don't need questions, Elliot. I just need answers, all right?
You had the answers. That's what I'm saying. Ideas are the answers. You said you had, when you get out of rehab, you're like, I'm going to TikTok the fuck out of this. I got all these ideas.
I did say that. I do have some ideas. I haven't got around to it. It was a busy week at work.
You need to quit that job.
I need to quit shit. Yep.
Caveat to the listeners that this isn't going to be a fucking, everybody in this episode is pissed off.
Yep.
I guess I wasn't.
I know, this is so rare. He's the one that had to cheer everybody up. Usually he's the negative one.
Yeah, no, I'll bring you down. That's what my
I'll bring
my,
you my fucking job. Down.
That song Hurt, it's about me.
All right, y'all. Well, tune in next week. If you listen, tell us what you liked, like you've been doing. Shout out to Brandon. Thanks for listening. And
shout out to Victor.
Yeah, Victor. Welcome.
Shout out to Caleb. Shout out to Ricky. Shout out to Maria for listening to that one episode and not getting mad.
Drink the Kool-Aid, bitches.
Perfect.
Drink the Kool-Aid,
bitches. Drink the Kool-Aid, bitches.
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 You know.
His name is Fetsopotamus.
Oh, yeah. It's his legal name. I mean,
it's Bruno, but he answers to Fetsopotamus.
He in that Guar band.
Yeah. Just so happens.